The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join the community that we have on the website and ask questions and engage with the participants and the guests. So today's topic is how to gain a true blue following for IT internally and externally. Our guest for today's show is Kevin Larson, who is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer with AAR Corporation. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, sir. Very good. How's the weather in Chicago? Are you in Chicago?
Yes, I am. It's warm and dry. We probably need some rain, but so far, so good.
Beautiful. So how's life and work? Are you playing more golf and less work or the
I actually played golf, I think, once 2 years ago. But I did play a couple holes with Tiger Woods, so that was kind of neat.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, great. So while, you know, of course, we all love to play golf, but at the same time, we have a job to do here as an IT leader. And what we look at typically is IT is more looked at from an internal function, and it is not given the due respect, or perhaps that some people have as a pet peeve. But then, what is the expectations? What are the expectations that the customers have, whether they are internal customers or external customers from IT? And then, what has been the history that you've seen, and how is it morphing towards what we are going to see in future?
That's a good question. We're pretty lucky here at AAR. We've been very, from the IT group, very external facing, something we've been working on for probably almost 10, 15 years. So working on different programs, getting connected with the business leaders, and helping develop solutions that are for our internal IT users and also for our external facing customers. So I'd say overall, the customers rightfully expect strong dedication and genuine support on all IT requests. And whether it's a help desk ticket or an ERP upgrade, across the board, you have to really have genuine folks that want to deliver and help out the business. And in many ways, I feel that we're in a customer service type group and try to add value with everything we do.
Now, many times the importance of a function or an individual performing that function depends on how strategic or critical it is seen by the folks who are receiving the service and or the function that is being performed. Is IT still, you would say, a tactical behind-the-scenes type of function, or do you think it is gaining ground with respect to how it is influencing the business?
You know, for our group, I think, again, we're very, again, like I said, connected with the business. It's very strategic. I think we have a strategic differentiator with the systems we provide, with the solutions that we, put in place. And across the board, when we're looking at new opportunities, the IT group has been able to work on the business development side, so we see what these opportunities could become early on. We help with the actual requirements. Say we get a large statement of work for a customer. We help define what the IT architecture is going to be. We help with the staffing plan. We help with the implementation plan, the project management. And then once we win a large program or we get a new opportunity at AAR, then we're part of the implementation group. And rapid deployment is one of our strengths, so we stay with the users, kind of hand-in-hand, getting the solutions put in place.
Now, given what the role that you play and the way you go about talking to any of your industry peers, is there something that they see is changing with respect to how IT is being used and the expectations that are set for IT today, and what are they going to be tomorrow? Do you see a trend changing or a pattern overall?
I think it is changing. I think it's evolving. I think IT is more tied with the business than ever before because of the automation and some of the process improvements we can provide. And I think it all starts with having a really great team. So at AAR, we have a tremendous team. We've got fantastic retention. People have been in place for many years. They understand the aviation industry, and they're able to help with their experience. And then they've kind of learned over the years the value of the customer service, and we function like a service bureau. So many of our efforts are business-driven, so we need to be connected with the business. So if we want to put a capital expenditure in front of them that we want to get new servers or new application or new solutions, they have to have the confidence in us that we're going to deliver for them, and eventually it's going to lead to value for the company and our customers.
There's something to be said about what's the reality on the ground versus what is the wish list. So is there a wish list, and are there items in that wish list that historically have not been fulfilled in, or they are getting introduced as part of the wish list, and we are hoping that some of them at least will get implemented as what IT should deliver?
You know, we're able to prioritize pretty well with the IT is connected with our president and our COO, and he kind of drives across the enterprise as far as what our business requirements are. And then it's up to us to make sure that we're working on the right thing. So we're constantly trying to make sure that we're working on the most value-added solutions that are going to be the most strategic and that are the highest priority for the company. And I think with the economy that we have right now, as far as spending money, you want to focus your resources on the things that are going to get the most bang for the buck that are out there.
Now, it seems like that you are lucky to have the type of executive management that you have, and also I'm sure they're feeling that the same way about you being there, the CIO. If you look across the board with various organizations, of course, not everybody is telling exactly what you told at this time. With people not being as happy, whether from business or from IT, and they're not finding the customers, which could be internal or external, looking at IT the same way as that's happening in your organization, what could be missing?
You know, I think it starts at the top. The CIOs, they need to understand that we're a service provider, we're a support organization, and it doesn't happen over a year or two. I've been with AAR for many years, and it's happened over time, and you just have to chip away at it. And I think what the CIOs across the board, they need to stay connected, even down to not micromanaging, but if you have, there's obviously in any organization, you're going to have certain key users. And if they have equivalent to a help desk ticket or something's wrong with their BlackBerry or whatever, and somehow you overhear this or it gets escalated or whatever, you need to make sure that that's taken care of. And then you need to make sure that they understand the value and that it starts with the CIO, that it's very, very critical that we're providing outstanding customer service. And eventually you start getting a number of wins, and it does lead to positive feedback, which is really what drives many of the team's goals as far as just to get some good feedback, and constantly they're going to want to do more and help more.
So what you just mentioned is that captain of the ship is of paramount importance, who's leading the crew. Do you think there is some value that we should put on the crew itself? In the sense, what is that crew supposed to do, and how are they able to execute on the vision that the CIO brings?
Well, they need to know what the core values are, the core values as far as system availability, strong customer service, responsiveness, no kind of crosstalk between developers and the technology folks. We're all one team. We're all supporting the business. Eventually, when you have a strong leadership team like I'm lucky to have, they're able to take that vision, and now it's become part of their core values, and they extend that out to their folks. They use that when they're looking for new recruits, when we're hiring new people. We look for the people that have, you know, obviously solid backgrounds, but people that are good communicators, that are happy to get out in front of the users or the external customers, and, you know, solid people that want to add value. And IT is just the tool. We're more, I think we function more as business folks, that IT is our kind of craft, but we're really very, very, very business-driven.
Now, when it comes to crew, given what you just mentioned about the economy and the roller coaster ride that we've been having for the last almost a decade, what is the motivation for these IT crew members to follow your lead, even you may be the best CIO out there?
Yeah, a couple things, and it goes back a number of years. I'll take us back to, you know, after 9/11. Think about what that did for the aviation industry, for the economy in general. And obviously, there were cutbacks. There were, you know, salaries were tight, bonuses were tight, et cetera. The one thing that I kept in our budget, and I think it's very important for the crew, is training. So we always still had training. Everybody still got their Oracle training or their whatever it was. And IT folks, they really enjoy the training, and I think it adds a lot of value to their kind of career, and that was one of the things that I've always tried to instill on, that training is always available, and I really, really stress it. And I'll add that we also have a lot of high degree of folks that have got their bachelor's, obviously, but we've got a number of folks that have gone on and gotten their master's or MBAs, and so it's really a mindset that education is very important. That adds an awful lot of value, and, you know, especially even more in the tough times, I think.
We've historically seen a lot of people say that there are people and then there are IT people. They belong to different planet almost. So is that something which has been respectfully and proudly earned, or is it something more of a stigma which we are having a tough time removing?
You know, I think it's probably somewhat of a legacy type thing. I've been in IT approaching 30 years, back to the old mainframe days with the pocket protector and all of that. And I think the services that IT is bringing to the business today, as far as the solutions, the reporting, the web tools, the electronic interfaces. We really couldn't do those in a vacuum. We couldn't develop good solutions in a vacuum. So we need to be connected with the business. We need to understand the business requirements. And once we have that, we can go ahead and you know, be part of the company, not the back behind the scenes IT guy.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And look at how reactive is IT today versus what is expected in terms of them being proactive, be able to keep their finger on the pulse of the business and be able to proactively sniff any customer issues and be able to fix them. Is that still like a holy grail that we are trying to reach or try to get to, or is it something which is still now already a reality? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Stop wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Kevin, this is something which all of us always try to achieve, which is Holy Grail, where IT would know beforehand what the problem is. They come, fix it, and customer doesn't really ever have to call. We wish that this was completely true. What prevents us from this being a reality on an ongoing basis?
You know, that is that the old adage, when the customer has to tell you that a system is down. So really what you have to do from a technology, I think it starts with the technology in this case, you have to have effective monitoring tools. You have to have different controls in place. You have to have different contingencies set up. So, you know, I'll give you a story. We had an issue where our Blackberries would go down, and it was one of those things where if I would catch it on the weekend on a Sunday morning and get the red X or whatever, you know, I would know that I've got, you know, we've got 6,000 employees at AAR, you know, not all of them obviously have Blackberries, but a lot of them do. I sure didn't want our users out there with their Blackberry down. They use it extensively. So we've had to put things in place where we have high availability. And it's just, I would say it's just a process. You have to continue to look at an infrastructure and operations and things like that where people are always monitoring, and when there is an issue, whether it's, you know, 7x24, we're on it. So I think it's dedication, it's hard work, it takes time. But don't let a problem happen once and not make any corrective action to that. Because then the worst thing, it's going to happen again, and if it happens again, then it's really, I'd say it's the IT's fault that we did not do any remediation to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Now, how much of this proactive approach to solving customer issues, an art or a science?
Let me think about that for a second. It's probably a combination. I think the art is that you have to be creative, you have to be open-minded, you have to try some things, you have to be innovative. And the science is maybe more of the traditional. So I think what we try to do is we try to get a lot of reuse. We try to leverage things that we've developed, different web tools, different reporting tools, our key applications. We've been able to develop them over the years. But then when we get a new requirement, so if we're in the parts trading business and now we're going to support a maintenance, repair, and overhaul operation, we've got to be open and flexible, and our application leads need to go in there and say, okay, how can I modify this system to satisfy work cards and labor collection, different things for fixing an airplane? So that's the art part, where you can take existing solutions and then enhance them with what the customers are asking for today.
Now, do you think that people who we are trying to utilize, to basically your crew members who are going to be doing this, would the customer allow their systems to be sandboxes for them to really, you know, play with it, to come up with that proactive sniffing?
No, I think what we try to do is we try to develop solutions where the customers have access to the systems, or if we're tightly coupled with some type of integration, say if a customer system goes down for any reason, it's not going to impact our, quote, internal applications or internal solutions. So, you know, I don't know if you'd want to. I don't think I would sign up for a solution where I'd go to one of my customers and say, well, let me just dabble in your environment a little bit and see if we can make this work. I think we provide a much more, you're talking about kind of the science or art. I mean, there's also an element of very traditional infrastructure and traditional change management and promotion models that are highly reliable. And the same kind of controls that were in place 30 years ago are still relevant today, even with the huge technology changes and all the advances in technology. But you still, and inherently, I'm pretty conservative, and I think that's been just learned and with experience that you want to be conservative. You don't want to go and experiment with solutions, because inevitably they're too complex today, and you'll end up with downtime, and that's not going to help anybody out.
Now, how much do you think in today's world IT folks understand business? Because that's been another pet peeve of the customer folks, that they don't get it, and they try to come up with a solution before they even understood what my problems are.
Right. I think what, you know, we don't have that issue here. I think we're very lucky that the team understands the aviation industry. Aviation gets kind of in your blood and you really love it. So that's pretty straightforward. But I would say across the board, that is a valid comment as far as the people are more interested, the IT folks are maybe more interested in IT for the sake of IT. And that's not really where it's at. I mean, they need to somehow change that paradigm that IT is an enabler for businesses, IT adds value, and that eventually when you put the two together, then you've got a solution that's really strategic and effective.
Now, do you think that these people who we are referring to as business folks, is there an approach that you've utilized to get them always be up to speed with business so that there's no such comment coming from the business? What's the magic thing that you did?
Yeah, I would say it's our model is kind of a business partner model. We have pretty traditional teams, and I think all companies have, you know, traditional organizations, and I think what you need to do is you need to make sure that your IT leadership folks are out there communicating, understanding, especially most importantly, probably listening to the what the business people are trying to accomplish, what their end customers are looking for as far as something IT related. And it's not, I would say it's not magic. It's really basic, hard work, dedication, and you want to be able to provide business solutions and not just, quote, IT for the sake of IT.
Now, for the listeners who are listening to this event, and you know they will be listening going forward, they would all claim that in their respective organizations, people are working hard. They have all the right intent. But somehow, this marriage of business and IT knowledge and the automatic learning about the business so that such comments are not made about them is simply not happening. So what would they be missing, and what could they try different?
I would start with visibility. They need to know that you're, as far as IT professionals, they need to be out there. They need to be visible, whether you're in a retail store looking at how the systems are being used, whether you're in a warehouse, whether you're wherever you are. You can't really be behind the scenes. You need to be out there and understand what the true requirement is. If you're supporting a call center or things like that, you need to listen in on the help desk calls that come in. And at some point, you need to also travel. One of the things that our leadership has provided for us, they've said, go out there, get connected with the business, go out there, get connected with the different programs, the external customers. So I've averaged about 100,000 miles of flying for the last three years, and it's about 50% business development and 50% operations. Every time you get out of the office and you go to an operation or you go to a customer, without a doubt, you're going to learn something. You're going to pick up some things that you would not have picked up if you're sitting at your desk. And inevitably, my whole team will tell you this, when I'm either out at a customer site or out at an operation or even out at a training class, I'm on my BlackBerry sending them, hey, what about this? You know, new ideas, things like that. So I think you need to get out there and you need to really see firsthand what kind of things are going on. And by the same token, our IT team, they're out traveling all the time as well. So that pushes through the whole organization as far as IT understanding what's going on out there.
Now, coming to the very relationship, which is what the basis of this topic is, in order to build relationship, what is that we are expecting the customer to look at us? Because all along, IT is seen as something which would rather be invisible. I'd rather do go about doing my business, and only when there is some problem, then I'll come and tell you. But do you think if they would never come back to us and look up to us to say, hey, how do you think we can do accomplish this another cool thing that I want to put in place? If they don't have that respect and only they're going to come and complain when there's a problem, then do you think that's the right type of foundation for a relationship?
Well, no, that would be very tough. And I think you have to go back to, you know, one of the earlier questions is that you have to have a culture that wants to genuinely help the users, help the customer. The culture has to be that we're here to help. We're not the brainiacs or whatever. You know, we want to understand the fundamental issues. And without a doubt, if a customer doesn't get respect from the IT folks, or you wouldn't be a foundation for a relationship. So it starts with dedication and genuine desire to help.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and look at the possibility of how we can encourage water cooler conversations between IT and business people at all levels in order for them to assimilate as one team versus two different camps. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Have questions about wind power? Listen for the TLG Wind Power Hour with Terry from TLG Wind Power Products. He'll cover the ins and outs of wind energy with you, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or want a ready-made product. Let Terry give you the know-how and understanding of making wind energy work for you. Terry will share decades of hands-on experience so that you don't have to learn about wind power the hard way. The TLG Wind Power Hour, live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Green Talk Network.
Are you looking for a show to help you increase your sales and subsequently your income? Want to know what works and what doesn't? Do you want to have some fun and learn at the same time? Listen for Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. Yep, it's a long title, but it's designed to educate you, the effective sales professional. Each week, hosts Len DiNincenzo and Jack Cullen will help you stay focused on doing the basics of your trade consistently well. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjay Gall.
Welcome back. So we're talking about the relationship aspects, and typically it's been seen that folks who would build some very good relationship, they would know each other's family, they would hang out together, and they will do things which would otherwise be seen as, and on a personal front, they kind of bond. How much of that happens between business and IT people, and are you able to remove the line between the two so-called camps?
I would say it happens. It's not cookie cutter. I think it's a little bit random. We talked a little bit about the various travel. Travel is a great time for the IT folks to get connected with the different business leaders. So we do have quite a bit of travel out to new program startups. We're out there, and it really you pick up an awful lot over dinner and a glass of wine as far as what the pressures that the business folks are needing. And in many cases, the dedicated IT folks, they go back to their hotel room and fire up their laptop, and they're working on different reporting solutions. I've got a senior a VP of applications who will be on his laptop at 2 o'clock in the morning working on strategic reports and getting other exports out of the system. And a lot of that, not so much the day-to-day, because you get some of that there too, but you pick up an awful lot, say, over a dinner. Personally, we just had a board meeting a few weeks ago, and one of our business leaders was, heading downtown to go out with another fellow from New York, and I was able to get together with them, for an hour or so. And so you just have to be accessible, and they need to know that you care and you're interested.
So now this, what you just mentioned, is at the leadership level, and rightfully so, because, of course, you have to be far more closer to the business for you to be able to do your job. Now, if you were to take a systems analyst and, say, a regular HR person within your organization, do they hang out and go to each other's barbecue parties?
I think there probably is some connections. I don't have an example per se, but I think we're a pretty close group.
Yeah, the whole idea, what I'm trying to convey here, is that at leadership level, of course, we have to get closer to businesses, not have to. We automatically do in order for us to really gel together. It's just the relationship aspect across the board, along the different levels within the organization.
Yeah.
How do you make that happen?
One thing that we do is here we get pretty connected with the community, so we do different charity works, we do different walks, and it's a combination of staff people, leadership folks, so we support a lot of the community-type events. We have a softball team that has a mix of folks that are out there playing softball. We have a beanbag tournament in the parking lot here on Fridays where we get a whole mix of folks. We have a lot of different programs that bring people together. And it's across the board. It's recreational, and I think it's also community service type things. We've got a car wash coming up where a lot of the folks will be out here washing cars for the Ronald McDonald House. So when you're there doing those type of things, that is a good way to start some connections.
Now, coming to a total different topic, which is the very paradigm shift in the way computing will be done, perhaps in your organizations or many others, not all of this would percolate in as deep, but then people are saying, going forward, the CIO's role may be on the verge of extinction. This might be an extreme. But they are looking at the cloud computing and SaaS, like software as a service, and many such new computing paradigms which would actually allow a business unit leader to not have to depend on IT per se as a department, instead have a few folks within their organization, and since they are flipping switches and subscribing to one service versus another, there would not be an IT needed. But then at the same time, with IT being IT, would that be a better model for them to really get together with the business very closely and make them their true blue customers?
I don't know if there's one answer. I think you'd almost have to look at that on a case-by-case basis. I think it's a philosophy. It's a very strategic business decision. And in some ways, when you're talking about the kind of cloud computing, it really gets into whether you want to outsource or you like to keep your strategic assets internally. So for companies that have scaled to a certain point and they're comfortable, maybe they've had some problems with IT services and functionality, and they're willing to try to maybe outsource it, I don't think you're going to save money if you outsource it. Maybe people think they do, but once you do that, it's very hard to bring it back in. For us, and I think a lot of other businesses where they like to do internal IT, where they don't want to outsource it, they want to maintain their own networks, maintain their own data center. In some ways, I think you can be a little more strategic. So if you have a more strategic requirement, if you host your applications, if you have certain custom applications, you're going to be more effective. You're going to provide better customer service and more rapid deployments if you have control over that kind of hosting environment. The final thing I would say, the cloud computing or other outsourcing, if it's more of a commodity, then maybe that would be a good option to maybe outsource. But things that are strategic, our experience here is that we like to maintain that ourselves.
Now, coming to the very expectations that our customers have, I have a problem, or even if I don't have a problem, I just want my systems running. And if I were to deal with IT, keep the thing simple, set the right expectations, and deliver as per what the expectations are. Now, how complicated is it for it to still be an issue on an ongoing basis? Are we overcomplicating things just because the kind of brains IT people have?
As far as what the requirement would be?
I mean, it could be the requirement or the way they would, they would have a solution ready before they would have heard the total problem.
Yeah.
Jumping the gun.
There's still some of that, and I think, we see some of that with some of our reporting requirements. If you think about the different reporting solutions out there, you can set up a business intelligence environment, you can set up a data mart, you can do other exports from your system, and when users are looking for different metrics or different reports, depending on what the ideal reporting solution is, it's not always apples to apples. So that would be one where I would say the IT professionals need to analyze that and figure out how we can simplify different exports out of our transactional systems to make sure that it's more straightforward. Again, these are very, usually in many cases, they're very complex environments, and a lot of different attributes go into it. But I would say that's an area where we still need to evolve and come with a more straightforward, turnkey, basic solution. And as you mentioned, we need to listen and try to, focus on what the users are really looking for, and then try to prototype something that they can say, well, that's it, and have them sign off on what your deliverable before you go ahead and spend 3 months working on something.
So would you say that there are some obvious pitfalls that exist, or some things are not understood by the IT people, IT managers, and IT leaders, and maybe perhaps other organizations, and perhaps in some pockets in your organization, where they lose the focus from keeping things simple and just delivering as expected?
I don't know if they lose the focus per se. What I would say is these are very dynamic environments. So the solution that a IT professional would provide today, then the customer is out there working with that tool, and then they see that, hey, maybe I can, now that I've seen this, can you add these three columns, and can you add this kind of summary, et cetera. So I would say it's more about evolving and expanding requirements that are, again, very complex, and it's nearly impossible to define every one of those detailed steps on the blank piece of paper. So, you know, back to the concept of prototyping, and I would say incremental, and that's where we will kind of lose some of the complexity that you just, like you know, chip away at it and incrementally try to make the solution what the customer is looking for.
And there has also been a trend seen where many times IT folks try to be Hercules, where they would take on way too much, thinking that they can deliver, or they would go ahead and promise much more, and then, of course, if you fall short due to obvious reasons, that further adds to the negative impression that IT earns in many cases. So what is that we could do, either as a part of process or culture or training, where they don't try to be Hercules?
Yeah. That's leadership. That is a real issue. In terms of that's how you have to look at staffing, how you look at organization, you need to define what the IT processes are and make sure that there's a distribution of effort and that you have the proper backup. That's going to be an ongoing thing. As far as the other part of your question, I mean, it's so old-fashioned, but I think it's so important that you really have to under-promise and over-deliver. You talk about getting connected with the business. If you, you know, throw dates around and for 5 years in a row you miss your dates, I mean, you're going to lose that kind of loyalty. You're going to lose that belief that, you know, we know what we're doing or we're not making things too complex or whatever. So you need to function around a service level. You need to do everything in your power to make the dates that you're going to shoot for.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And while we have kind of bashed IT and say why IT doesn't do well and why what can they do to keep serving customers, but then all along we all have expectations from IT. However, IT workers, IT leaders, and the IT department all also deserves a life, if at least we can allow them to have one. And if yes, what is that IT wants from business for them to be able to do the job that customers want them to do and still earn the loyalty and still have a life at the same time? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and explore.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Money. We love it, we hate it, and everything in between. You can be the master of your life and your own economics. Join Professor Laurie LaMantia each week for the program, Making Peace with Money. Laurie will help you realize the power to create fulfillment in your life and shed new light on your money madness. You'll learn how to make peace with money and feel the joy and freedom renewed in your life. Making Peace with Money is broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we were talking about giving IT leaders and IT crew members a life, which is, for many people, is a dream, still has not come true. What is that we could do to provide an idea about what the customer expectations are from IT so that they can be properly met and they're not under constant pressure, and then they can get a life?
You know, I obviously it's a balance. You're going to have different peaks and valleys. You're going to have situations where you're, you know, within a 90 or 120-day deployment, a new implementation, and people are going to be working nonstop. I think you have to have metrics on that. You have to monitor how many travel days your folks are working, how many hours they're working for a large ERP implementation, and you need to recognize that with whether it's, say, comp time or different kind of flexibility that the IT staff, they know that you're concerned and that you care. And that when they need a little flexibility, it's up to the CIO and the leadership team to say, you know, absolutely yes. Where if they need days off last minute or different things, you want to give them that support because there's a real good balance between what's needed when they have to get called at 3 in the morning to support something, and they're there. And so if they need something, you have to make sure that they have the flexibility to do what their lives require.
Now, there's something to be said about redundancy. Given that we have a resource constraint, and then we've got way too many things riding on one person, number one, it's a risk, and secondly, it has a burnout effect. So how much can we extend ourselves within IT for this person to get a life and also save the business from any lack of redundancy-related risk?
You know, what you want to do is make sure that they have every little technology or everything possible to make things a little bit easier. So whether it's the ability to work at home, so they've got a data line and they've got a connection, they got the ability to work at home, whether they've got a, you know, wireless access when they're on the road or whatever they are, traveling, et cetera, that they can still provide the ad hoc support, but they still have some freedom that they're not literally tied to their desk the entire time. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis, and it kind of evolves, and you have to have a little bit of a feel for it, but you have to have a good memory for what your staff has put in and the dedication and the extent of what they're contributing to the organization, and you have to find ways to get back to them. And it's just, it's not maybe always obvious, but you have to always have your eyes open to where I can give something back to our folks.
Now, we have seen that an IT worker's job description is almost like a person which has got multiple skills and, in fact, way too many to be stuffed into one person for them to be great at that one job so that they can satisfy the customer. Is that by design, or is it because we have a resource constraint?
I think there's probably resource constraints. I mean, we have a few openings here at AAR where we're looking for different, technology folks and things like that. And so there's opportunity to look for people that are, specialized. In some ways, one of the strains at AAR is that we've had many of our folks can wear many different hats. And then what you want to do is you want to have those folks that can wear many different hats be a backup in some cases. Maybe it's not their primary, but if you have an issue with security or Active Directory or something like that, you've got other folks that maybe aren't working on that every day, but they can go in and provide some support or some relief in that area. When we do a big weekend data center update or enhancements, you want to have the whole team together, and you want to make sure that you've got some redundancy there with the staff, that not one person is doing every single keystroke of the 18-hour upgrade. So you also want to bring in some extra consultants if you're doing a big upgrade, so they can keep the databases upgrade going through the weekend, and you don't have just your one or two DBAs doing all of that work. So supplement where you need to.
One is to have a customer, another is to have a true blue customer. That means you got to do something extra. You got to go that extra mile. What is that extra mile that we need to go to? And then what's the motivation for an IT worker who's already, stretching at the seams?
Mm-hmm. The extra mile is whatever it takes to get the job done. So if it's putting in a few extra hours, if it's collaborating, if it's a little bit of, we see this around here somewhere, where we pull resources from another group, they're sharing. We work together as one kind of monolithic group. So if we need a developer in our one application area, maybe a fellow in the e-commerce area can help out, they kind of slide over. So it's a lot of peaks and valleys, and what you want to do is make sure that you've got a little bit of flexibility, and it's not one person only works on this very thing, that you've got people that will wear some different hats, and that wearing of the different hats does lead to some load balancing that helps for the peak times, or like I said, bring in a surplus resource if you need to.
So that the word extra, would you say that just says do your job, or do your job like nobody else has done before?
I think if you want to be competitive, you have to do your job like no one else has before. You need to always be looking to improve. You need to raise the bar all the time, and a good, dedicated, business-driven team is going to want to do that. That's going to be inherent, that they're going to want to go that extra mile. And if you have, I would say your metric on that is if you have an IT group out there with good retention, they're enthusiastic, they're connected, then they're going to find ways to continue to add value and not just, phone it in every day.
Now, one last question I have is that if you are going to have these people go ahead and take control of what is happening in business versus just being order takers, is that going to be counterproductive, or is that the way you could earn true blue customers?
What do you mean by take control? You mean like IT getting out in front of the business, per se?
Yes, yes. In a way, kind of leading them to success, leading them to competitive advantage.
I think you need to look at your center of competencies. And for IT folks, our center of competency is IT with a strong business knowledge. And you need to trust, and you need to respect the business leaders, the executives, the business leaders across the board in any industry, because that's their core competency. And I think ensure that you've got that connection, that you're working together, and they're going to be 99% of the time they're going to make the right business decision, and it's up to us to make the right IT solution or IT system with that.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Kevin, for sharing your thoughts about how organizations can work closely with IT and for IT people to really work differently in order for them to make their internal and external customers, the true blue customers. Thank you again so much, Kevin.
Thank you.
Now, if you have any questions, send us the questions to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Listen to the archives, join the community, share your feedback. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Gall, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.